place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Well, look at you. You made it. Friday morning. Why go any further? Turn around. Go back home right now. Get back into bed. You've done enough. Oh, that's wrong, Steve. You should be inspiring people to get up and go to work. You know, I want you to have a consultant tell me that.
Really?
Yeah, you need to tell people to get up and go to work. I said, let me explain something to you. If you're over the age of 18 or 21 and I don't know you, I'm not going to tell you to get up and go to work. Get up and go to work.
I agree. Working's for the birds.
But don't you always listen to what consultants say?
Well, there is that.
That's your middle name.
You know, I had a consultant who once told me, if you play the Flintstones theme every morning at 7:30, you'll own the town.
You're lying.
You know, I'm not kidding.
No.
People hate their alarms, and if you become like an alarm clock, that's not good.
Babe, babe. Beep, hit the radio twice. Hit your Alexa twice.
What?
And then I'll come out again in 9 minutes.
I liked how you started. You were like, you made it. I felt so accomplished.
You made it.
I felt, honestly, you made me feel good about myself.
It's Friday.
I made it. I made it, Steve.
You did. This is the end of 2 weeks for you. How do you feel?
I feel great. I think next week, I just told Dave.
Take it next week off?
I said next week. I'll be really good. I mean, he'll be happy. You guys hired me next week.
You've been a delight. Hasn't she been a delight?
She has been a delight.
We've been talking about you. We said, yes, were you a delight? We had a meeting yesterday. Was G a delight?
And the answer is yes, absolutely. Yes.
Thanks for not inviting me. Definitely don't invite me when you...
Mary was on the fence. But the rest of us thought you were a delight.
I wasn't even there. Yeah.
All right, we got to do this. Top six at six. Ready, set, go.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
This one's for you, Vandeveld. The Chicago Air and Water Show this weekend, female pilot Jesse Panzer at the 61st Annual Chicago Air and Water Show will perform a dance in the sky 3,000 feet in the air. Moving in tandem with her lead, Sean Tucker, the other half of the Performance Flight Team Oracle, they will loop, barrel roll, and shoot gracefully through the sky, leaving behind streams of white smoke over Lake Michigan.
Wow, this is good. I want to know what kind of dance they're doing. Are they
dancing airplanes?
Salsa-ing, you know? Is it a Viennese waltz? What's going on?
It looked like it'd be easier for two planes to tango.
And if they got a little bit further up,
close to get it back.
If they got a little bit further up, it'd be Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, look what you did there. You know, we don't do that on this show. Smack yourself in the face.
I'm punching myself in the face.
All right, so here's the deal. Of course, the male-dominated flight industry, Panzer stands out as one of the only female civilian, if not the only civilian, air show pilot flying in formation in the U.S. There's also someone named Enza Montana, marketing director for Chicago Harbors, who's going to be on this morning talking about women captaining boats.
Yeah, well, I think Viv is going to be captaining a boat.
Are you driving your boat, Viv?
I am.
Why are they letting you drive? You and your dad.
Yeah, both.
I wouldn't let you drive. You're young and irresponsible.
Have you had boater safety?
Yes, I have,
actually. Oh, good.
I'd let you drive me anywhere in a boat.
Thanks, G. I appreciate that.
How much booze is involved in that statement?
About 30%.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. We're responsible.
Today in Trump, President Trump attacked a heckler's weight during last night's rally in New Hampshire.
What?
Saw that.
Well, when you're as fit as Donald Trump, definitely what you want to do, aside from being presidential, is to go after somebody for being a fat guy.
But didn't they say that the guy that he singled out was actually
one of his supporters?
One of his
supporters?
Yeah. So it was the guy, the heavyset guy was the guy helping them remove the skinny people who were being thrown out.
Yep. What is happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what Donald Trump said. That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home. Start exercising. And if you don't like my impression, listen to the real thing.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home. Start exercising.
It doesn't talk.
And then he said, get him out of here.
He was the Trump supporter.
Okay. Has anyone found the guy to talk to him to see if he's still supporting Trump?
I'm guessing that he'll be all over TV today.
Well, Trump weighs, 243 pounds?
Let me tell you something. If he weighs 243 pounds,
I weigh 72 pounds, okay?
Well, you have been on Seattle Sutton.
You know what
really
it should
be? 6'3".
243, yeah, he is tall. Okay. But 243 pounds, it should say to be continued on another scale. 243 pounds.
It doesn't even make sense. Why was he heckling his own supporter?
He's Donald Trump. How dare you question him? How dare you? You know how I feel about Donald Trump.
And the guy will probably forgive him tomorrow anyway.
Oh, he's still going to get some TV time today. If he's not on TV today, I'd be stunned. Stunned. Next. Israel denied entry to two Democratic congressmen from visiting Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government is now reversing the previous decision to admit to the president's most outspoken critics, Ilhan Omar, Democrat from Minnesota, and the Democrat from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib. This is following an unusual intervention by Donald Trump, only unusual because we say it is. Hours before the decision to block the lawmakers, Trump tweeted that approving the visit would show great weakness, after which Netanyahu did not, and then he did. The tie to all of this, I believe it's Omar, has a grandmother in Palestinian, or in the Israeli-occupied part of the Palestinian territories, and needed approval by Israel to go see. Now, look, I'm going to defend the greater notion here that just because you're an United States congressperson doesn't mean you're entitled to go anywhere. Doesn't mean you can just waltz into any country. And because of the stance that these two have taken truthfully and untruthfully about what they didn't say, they are in danger going into certain parts of the world. So the Israeli government, the Palestinians have to take on their security. However, this is handled incredibly poorly.
Yeah, and this is not about their security. This
right.
is about...
No, I know it's not, but I'm saying that's an argument that could fairly be made by them. And I don't know that we need to take the stand that the United States Congress people are entitled to go anywhere they damn well please.
But it's also a slippery slope. If you start not letting duly elected representatives of your ally, closest ally, come to your country, that's a big problem. Right, going forward, and what?
But technically, as a U.S. citizen, aren't you allowed, as long as there's, you know, that you've met clearances and you don't?
Oh, you could be banned by any government. Any government can tell you. We've had people that been banned in the U.K. Remember when the U.K. was our best friend? We've had people banned from going there. So you can just, if you're running a country, I mean, Trump's tried this. Remember, Trump said you can't come.
Remember
that day?
Yeah, whenever these things happen, I always say, well, let's flip the coin here and see what would happen. What if the democratically controlled Congress banned somebody from Israel from coming to the United States? What would the reaction be?
They'd be loud. Yeah, of course it would. All right, next. Trump, folks, this is going to make you happy. A Jimmy Kimmel Live bit making fun of Donald Trump is costing ABC $395,000. The FCC cracking down on the use of the emergency alert tone by way of entertainment. The network agreed to pay a fine after Jimmy Kimmel in October used a simulated tone three times during a sketch about the nationwide presidential wireless emergency alert test. The bit, still posted on YouTube, featured a trailer for a fake movie called The Textinning. According to the FCC filing, ABC said it was a misunderstanding that the use of the tone was permissible. I'll be honest with you. I knew it was bad form. I didn't know you couldn't use it.
That didn't either.
You mean that?
Well, but then again, there was a time, and Steve Grzanich might remember this, that you couldn't even play a siren on the radio, right? You remember? Yeah.
That still throws me. Like, if you're driving along and you're a siren, you go, well, where's that coming from?
If it's in a commercial or something?
Yeah, like you have to go to your bomb shelter. Yeah.
Next! Amazon's paying warehouse workers to say good things about Amazon on Twitter. The campaign's getting backlash online. Workers at the warehouses are part of a campaign to tweet positively about their employer as a response to criticisms about working conditions.
That's terrible.
Really, is that good?
That's awful. You know, they have to walk like hundreds of miles during their workday and they can't take a potty break.
And those are the people in Toledo. And finally this. Cinnamon Coca-Cola is coming to the United States. The goal is to help fans ring in the holidays this year. Does this have anything to do with pumpkin spice coffee?
I don't know, but I'm enjoying some now.
After debuting a version of the flavor for the United Kingdom customers, companies bring the flavor to the U.S. I'm going to do a quick inventory here. Cinnamon Coke? No, I'm going to say no.
Before you say no, okay, when we were in, I believe, in Norway, they had... It was actually a Pepsi product with ginger. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, last summer, Coke came out with Diet Coke with ginger.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only Diet Coke that we ever get, and just occasionally, because we don't drink much soda, but it's really good.
You like it.
And I figure if ginger works, why wouldn't cinnamon work?
You know, in the words of George H.W. Bush, I don't like broccoli. I'm the president of the United States. I don't have to eat broccoli. You know, I like cinnamon. I drink Coke Zero. I like Diet Pepsi. I like ginger ale. You don't need to mash those products up.
Okay, but why don't you try it before you dismiss it?
Because I'm 58 years old and I don't have to.
Let's bring
Dave, listen to this. It's the Steve Cochran show.
Viv, if you bring in cinnamon, Coke, Pepsi, ginger, I'll try it.
Okay, right, let's do it. Do you guys remember that cinnamon challenge when you had to?
Oh, yes. That's bringing back bad memories to me.
All right, we got to come back. Lou's first call is next. Hey, you got any problems at the house?
Yeah, lots.
Okay, well, you can ask Lou Manfredini. This is part of your fringe benefits working on the Steve Cochran
Show.
Really?
Yeah, lots of problems. It's just only fixer-up problems or other kind of problems?
No, you can ask him about anything.
Okay, I need him to evict a neighbor.
And how about this for a guest? Joe Walsh will be on this show. Not the guitarist, the former congressman.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Hey, Vivian, can you come in here and find the missing computer mouse for the computers I have to use in here? I mean, who moves a mouse? Doesn't seem odd to you? We got a Lou Manfredini on this. Lou, do you know where the mouse is?
I think if you look to your left under the computer screen, all the way to the left, it's right there.
You think or top right on the console up there. Do you see any mice up there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, I see two. Hey, Viv, found it.
Super Joe saved the day.
Okay, why are they up here? Why put mice, computer mice, on top of the thing next to me when I don't notice stuff that's right in front of me?
Maybe somebody was dusting and they needed it out of the way.
Dust at home.
Yeah, Ferguson was in there with his vacuum cleaner.
Oh, it's okay if Bob did it.
Bob Ferguson does a very nice job of keeping that studio clean and tidy.
I like Bob. If Bob did it, it's totally okay, and I retract all my whining. Rosemary, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Rosemary, great news. I found the computer mouse.
Oh, I wouldn't know. First of all, a mouse is something I would be terrified of.
Yeah, no, this one, it won't scare you. All right, so Rosemary, what's your question for Lou?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
What is your question for Lou Manfredini?
Oh.
Did you not have a question for Lou?
All of a sudden, I'm
Well, turn your radio down. If you're confused, it might be because your radio is up and you're hearing you 5 seconds.
No, my radio is off, sir.
Okay. All right. So what is your question for Lou?
I'd like to know what can be done about noises from next door, an air conditioner that is right below my bedroom door. Bedroom window.
Is this your air conditioner or like a building unit?
Next door.
All right. Stand by. Hold on. Lou, first off, it's a public building. She'd have to notify the landlord, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's tough. Whenever you're talking about any kind of noise like that, especially that has a vibration sound, I mean, the fact is if it's in a window sticking out of a building below you, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do. In particular, if she keeps her windows open to reduce that noise. I mean, if it's an older unit, it could be louder, but, you know, it's not like you can force a neighbor to buy a new, more quiet air conditioner if that's the issue.
Is there window muffling of some kind that you can do?
No, I mean, this is a real problem. I get this question a lot from people who, you know, are talking in when they're in multi-unit buildings where they can hear the neighbors in between the walls. And the only way to really muffle any kind of sound like that is that you literally have to build a separate wall because there needs to be a separation and an air gap. And nobody's going to do that because it's A, going to make your unit smaller, and B, it's just cost prohibitive. It's just not worth it. And so, unfortunately, even adding insulation to a wall or something like that, which on an outside wall, more than likely she has, it does very little to reduce the sound transference, in particular when it's something like that that vibrates, which also causes the sound.
Well, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
I guess the obvious things, and I'm sure Rosemary's thought of this, is move the bed to a different part of the room, switch bedrooms. I mean, all those things that she shouldn't have to do, but...
Right.
I would start with just telling the neighbor it's bothering you. Maybe she's already done that.
Perhaps.
So, all right, well, give Rosemary some stuff. Give her Lou's car.
Like his car?
Yeah, his car. His actual car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen, it's not
my
car.
Very generous.
I was like, can I apply for that?
Well, it's not an application process. You'd simply be the first caller.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. What is your question?
My question is, Lou, can you... paint my apartment for me. Interior paint. You know,
do you have an interior paint question? Because Lou can answer.
No, I really do. I need to paint my apartment on the not the outside, but the inside, my interior.
Right.
But here's the thing. I have a problem with my windows. My windows haven't been opening. So I need something that's going to be like low, like fumes, and I can live with for
a
while.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Why aren't your windows opening?
I don't know. Lou told me I needed to buy some sort of something to
dynamite?
Put on, I don't know, something on the windows. They won't open anymore.
Well, don't be dismissive. If Lou told you that, then you should probably do it.
I can't find what he told me to buy.
What did you tell her to buy to open her windows?
Wait. You remind me, G, they do open, but they don't stay open, or you can't get them open at all?
They used to open very easily, but now they just don't open.
Oh, the balancers, that's right, now I remember right, is that you probably need to replace the balancers on the windows, but in the meantime, there's a lightweight oil called Superzilla that I want you to spray on the sashes because it does not attract dirt so that you can operate the windows. I mean, regardless, I mean, I can get you a low VOC paint, that's easy, but you still want to have some fresh air in there because low VOC, volatile organic compounds, still, you don't want to be breathing that without some fresh air in the room, preferably. But Benjamin Moore makes this great paint called Aura that has no VOCs whatsoever. There's still an odor, but there's nothing that is off-gas during it that's harmful. They even went to the route of their paint that used to be that a lot of paints that were low VOC, when you'd put tint in them, the tints had the VOCs, and so you kind of it canceled out the whole idea about the no VOCs. But with this whole Ben Moore platform, Benjamin Moore's Aura with their tint, zero VOCs, an amazing paint. Not cheap, but an amazing paint.
So listen, this is my plan. You and Steve tell me what you guys think. I'm going to undertake the painting myself. I'm going to do just one wall at a time and do it over the course of several weeks, which is why then I didn't really need the windows to open.
Well, partly the problem is because you've told me this before, and this is actually very true. You're hyper sensitive to smells.
Exactly.
Yes. She's got sort of a bloodhound smell sense.
Well, then you need some fresh air.
But
you
it's okay.
Get those windows.
But
open.
It's okay to paint one wall at a time, though, right, Lou?
It's very artistic, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. I mean, it just prolongs the process. I think that if you're sensitive to smell, how big of a room are we talking about?
My apartment's not that big. It's just a one bedroom.
That one bedroom.
I think like 900 square feet.
Okay.
You're gonna paint the entire 1,000?
No, she just wants to paint the bedroom.
Well, no, I'm going to paint the whole apartment.
Like, my point is she wants to paint the whole apartment.
Never mind. Moving on to another question. Clearly my question.
By the way,
good.
Rosemary, you can't win this because you work here. A desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. That WD-40 for windows, what is that called again?
Superzilla.
Okay, that's what
and
I need.
It's a bio-based lightweight oil, and it does WD-40 would work too, but WD-40 tends to attract dirt,
okay.
And so over time, it actually makes things worse.
I think I'm probably just going to have to hire someone to paint.
Well, Lou's not doing it.
Well, then you could just leave and have
yeah,
paint it.
I know.
Lou, we're already out of time because we spent a lot of time talking about Jay's problems.
Sorry.
But before... Before you go, what's cool at the hardware store this weekend?
What's cool at the I can't remember if we've talked. This is kind of more of a practical thing. A lot of people have been concerned about weed control and harsh chemicals because of a lot of the stories that have been out about Roundup. And so there's a terrific product by a company called Bonide, which is a citrus-based weed killer, and it's called Burnout. And it's really effective. You have to use a little bit more, but it's a safer alternative than a really harsh chemical weed killer. And so if people are looking for a solution that is a little bit safer to use, then check out this Bonide Burnout product.
All right, hang on for me 1 second off the air, please. And that's Lou, sponsored by AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
I know you like me, and this room is a love fest. I know that. But you have no choice but to vote for me because your 401ks, down the tubes. Everything's going to be down the tubes. So whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ah, that's the America I know. Whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me. I remember as a little kid in school, first learning about the flag, democracy, civics, patriotism. I thought if we could just one day have a president who says you're screwed if you don't vote for me, I said that would be my guy. Joe Walsh and I used to work together. Joe Walsh and I worked together when in my short stint on WIND as a nationally syndicated radio talk show host for Salem. And in addition to that, of course, former congressman, he wrote an amazing New York Times op-ed this week. And he has consistently, by way of Twitter and other places, been the only hardcore Republican that has not only called out Trump, but pointed out how ridiculous this whole experience has been and what a fraud it is that he's good for America. He also tweeted out, Joe Walsh did this week, an apology for any part he may have had in electing Trump. I think that's fairly amazing. So I asked him to be on the show. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Steve. It's good to be with you, my friend.
Nice to talk to you. How much hate mail have you gotten in the last 2 days?
A bunch. Actually, a lot. Yeah. It's been pretty interesting. But we live in crazy times, don't we?
We really do. Here's the thing that's different. And you point this out in the New York Times op-ed piece, which I really encourage everybody to read from a couple of days ago. We live in a time now that is so vastly different from the time in the past where we could disagree, sometimes not so respectfully, but we could disagree. But we recognize that both of us had a viewpoint that was valid and we were entitled to have. People don't do that anymore.
No, and, you know, Steve, you and I have known each other a while. It's gone on for years, but like with everything with Trump, it's gotten worse. So now you have a point where I'm still the crazy Tea Party conservative I've always been, but because I can't stand Trump, I'm called, a socialist, a liberal, or whatever. So everybody's part of their tribe, they're part of their team, and the ideas, I guess, no longer matter.
In the New York Times piece, you point out that Mr. Trump is the furthest thing from a conservative. Just give me a couple of conservative points that conservatives might recognize, but how far away he is from that core value system.
I guess the two that jump out are, I mean, he's always been the king of debt. So the debt and the deficits have grown faster in his administration than under Obama, and nobody seems to care, and we all screamed about it when the debt and the deficit went up with Obama. And then the other thing, Steve, is, as you led with, if you don't vote, you have no choice but to vote for me. He actually, I think, believes he's a king and or a tyrant.
Right.
He has no understanding of or respect for the rule of law. As a conservative, I mean, that's like at the top, and again, my fellow conservatives stay silent with the fact that we have a guy who would love and does act like he's a king.
Yeah, you know, you stay in touch with those you served with and those you know in Washington. What are they telling you off the record? I mean, are they with him?
Steve, this won't surprise you. Look, every one of my former colleagues privately agrees with every single word I put in the New York Times. They know he's a despicable human being. They want him gone. They want him removed from the scene. They can't say that publicly. They're afraid of the tweet from Trump. They're afraid of a primary challenge.
and they just want to get reelected. So that keeps them quiet.
You served in Congress. I've asked Dick Durbin this as well. What's so great about the job that you're able to get up in the morning and not look in the mirror because you've sold out this hard for something that's so bad for America?
Yeah, I think, and you and I think have actually talked about this. I think Republican or Democrat, they love the power and the fame. You feel really important. And Steve, that's terribly intoxicating. And I think for a lot of them, they don't want to give that up. I don't know how, though. I mean, so many of these, and you see it in my business, conservative talk radio. If you don't sing his praises, your ratings could tank. So a lot of people in my business say that this guy walks on water every day because they want to keep their show. It's like people have just made a bargain with the devil.
You've taken a step out here in a pretty risky area. I know you're okay financially, but nobody wants to get fired, because I know that because I got fired a lot. what sort of heat are you taking from your own company that you can talk about?
I think it's, and if I'm trying to be careful with what I'm saying, that's sure. unusual for Joe Welch. I think it's safe to say, Steve, that, yeah, the company I work for would love it if we all supported Trump. I can't do that. So there's constant tension. Every day is difficult. But to me, it's just crazy. You and I are in the business of, we get paid to say what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you then just can't say the truth. So the truth is, I think Trump's a despicable human being. He has no shred of decency. He's incapable of any empathy. He doesn't deserve to be president. So I believe that. So I say that if I lose my job, I want to go work for Steve Cochran.
I don't see that happening. I'm going to have to talk to some people. Joe, say hi to G. G, say hi to Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, G.
My favorite part of the op-ed was you wrote, Mr. Trump has taken the legitimate differences that Americans have on policy and turned them into personal division. He's caused me to change my tone and to reflect upon where I went over the line and to focus on policy differences moving forward. Can you take us back to why you got caught up in that changing of the tone and that tribalism
yeah.
that has swept America? And then also, what broke you out of it? Because it sounds like there's so many people in America that need to be broken out of it as well.
Thank God for Trump. Gee, he woke me up. Well, look, most people think of Joe Welch as a bomb thrower, a flamethrower. And look, America was divided before Trump. I think that's why we got this jerk. He's a product of the divide. And when I was in Congress in the last 7 or 8 years, I've been at the front of that fight. And oftentimes in the fight, because I'm so outspoken, I said stupid things, I got personal with my opponents, I went after Obama, sometimes too personally, I said things I regret and I apologize for. And I guess it's the election of Trump and watching how ugly his behavior is, it really forced me to look at myself and say, oh my God, is that like the worst picture of Joe Welch? And it's really made me reflect, and to the point now where I have no interest in personal attacks. Everything I do, I want to just focus on policy, because I can't stand what this guy does. It's all personal attacks with him.
A lot of people have talked about, well, it's up to the American people to vote him out, and it is. And it's up to people to have the care in their hearts and their fannies to get off their couch or their chair and go and vote. I don't believe we have that kind of time. I don't believe we can wait for another 14 months, and I don't see this guy resigning, but I certainly think that it's time to stand up the way you've stood up. So I'm not going to be the first one to say this. Why don't you run?
And again, I don't pull my punches. Yeah, I don't try to be cute, Steve Cochran, and you're a good friend. I haven't ruled it out. The point of that New York Times piece was, what the hell, Republicans? Wake up. I'm stunned that nobody in the Republican Party has challenged him. Because, Steve, again, gee, they all believe what I said in that piece.
Absolutely.
And the fact that none of them have the, can I say bowling balls on the air?
Yeah, of course.
None of
14
them
pounders.
Have the bowling ball. None of them have the bowling balls to stand up against a man who's unfit. So whether it's me or somebody has to stand up and look this coward in the eyes, because that's what he is. He's an absolute coward, and say enough
enough of your indecency, sir. Leave.
It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's an American thing. And the president has to be the president, not someone who did it because he didn't have a guarantee his reality show would continue. Yeah. Listen, it's a remarkable piece, and I really respect you for writing it and saying it. And I have a sense of the kind of heat you've been taking, so I wish you well. And you know, we could use somebody around here to tidy up, so call me anytime.
I'll work for you, G. Forget about Steve. I'll work for G.
You're very kind. I'm really, have to tell you, kudos to you. There's nothing, I mean, unbelievable that you were able to talk about being... to apologize and to actually be sorry, something that politicians never really own up to. So that was just unbelievably refreshing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we'll stay in touch, Joe, but you're always welcome here.
Love you, Steve Cochran.
All right, man. Thanks,
guys.
We'll be back. I mean, he and I have disagreed on a billion things. But when I read that this week, it was like, come on.
It's hard for anyone to admit that they were wrong and for
to on step
such
up
a
like
public
that?
Stage yeah. to be able to do that. New That's York Times? Very impressive.
All right, we're way behind here, but for good reasons. Dierks Bentley tickets coming up. You want to win those? Stand by. I said Dierks Bentley tickets. Those are coming up. Also, Adam Hoge, live from New York, where the Giants host the Bears tonight. And Kevin Paul jumped out of an airplane yesterday.
Have you seen the video?
No.
It's pretty good.
Listen, he's changed. When he worked on this show, we never would have allowed that. Roe, I believe, had him thrown out of the plane.
Impossible, but Virginia? I'm glad you wouldn't allow that though, because I don't want to jump out of a plate.
No.
Yeah, no thanks.
And he seemed to enjoy himself. Is that what you're saying?
He did. Yeah, he was all fired up.
He's maybe different. We should just all do it.
No,
again, together, all three of us
wrapped around each other.
Just oh, one, and yeah. We're out of time. Back with your headlines next, or your news next, actually, I should say, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Now, from the Skyline Studio,
this is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Dierks Bentley tickets. Don't call yet. You don't know what I'm going to do.
Half your life you struggle. Half your life you fly.
A pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley on the Burning Man Tour 2019. Next Friday, August 23rd, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, Tinley Park, special guest John Pardee, Tennille Towns, and Hot Country Nights. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. How do you want to give these away, Super Joe?
Let's have someone call in with that knows somebody named Dierks. How's that work?
I wonder if anybody else...
And spelled the same way?
How about Dierks, Dirk with no S? Because more people know a Dirk.
Yeah,
I don't know a Dirk.
I don't know a Dirk.
I know a Dirk.
I definitely don't
Doesn't
know
Doesn't matter to me.
Though. Looks like Vanderbilt won the tickets.
I-E-R-K.
Dirk, my nephew.
All right, here's the deal. If somebody calls in and claims they know a Dirk or a Dierks, they have to give you a phone number where you can call and confirm that, in fact, that Dirk or Dierks exists.
Wow. But then that person could just be pretending that they're a Dirk. It could all be a setup. Conspiracy!
LiveNation.com if you want to get your own tickets in case the setup for this contest gave you a headache.
How about somebody named Bentley?
Oh. How about if you own a Bentley? Oh, no, then you can buy your own tickets.
Yeah, you should definitely buy your own tickets. And buy us all tickets.
We got two people calling claiming they know Dierks already.
Wow.
All right, so they have to know a Dierks, and then you guys have to call the Dierks, and then that person has to confirm their Dierks on the air.
We got
to
work on our contest.
This is the big Dierks game.
We got to work on our contest, because the last one you did about the TV...
What was the TV one?
When you were like, you've got to repeat verbatim what I just said.
The phrase of pace.
You couldn't even remember the phrase.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not up to me to win.
Plus, it was a paragraph. Remember?
It was.
Listen, all I do is make sure the rules are followed very carefully.
We need a games department.
How do you know these people will really be named Dirk?
You need some sort of ID.
Well, but here's the deal. Yeah. So this person calls and they tell Joe, I know somebody named Dierks. Joe says, what's their phone number? So they don't have time to call the person because we put them on hold.
Yeah, nobody knows phone numbers anymore anyway.
Oh, no, you're making this much harder than it needs to be. I was so clearly explaining it.
You were. Except that you could easily then text the person, hey.
What's going to be funny? Plan. What's going to be funny is halfway through this, when Joe gets tired of trying to facilitate this idea,
he's just going
to
pick someone.
And he's going to go, yeah, they won.
You know, he's like Oz
halfway
back
through,
there.
You think I'm even going that far?
He's like Oz behind the curtain, but he's just behind the glass.
Steve, Uncle Bentley from the Bachelor Father TV show should win. Dave?
I remember Uncle Bentley.
I don't remember
Bachelor
this.
Father with John Forsythe.
Is this like the Bachelor show on ABC?
No, this was a sitcom a long time ago.
I don't even remember that one.
219, I'll be impressed if anyone can dial their phone after that explanation of the game.
I'm good. Telling you, we need help.
870, Dirk Nowitzki from the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. You're a winner.
That's it. You have to know him, though.
All right, so any moment now, we'll have a winner.
Wow, this is a real arbitrary way to give up.
Oh, Joe's already given up. Wait, listen to this. Listen to this. Hi, what's your name?
My name is actually Bentley.
There's your name. That's a winner.
Your first name or your last name? Is that his first name or his last?
I don't know. Is that your first
it's
or your last
name? My middle name. I was named after my Aunt Alice, believe it or not. Aunt Alice Bentley, who was the first woman in the House of Representatives to be the Speaker in Pennsylvania.
Wow. Woo-hoo! So your name is Alice Bentley the second?
Had I been a girl, I would have been Alice. My name is actually Bentley. My middle name is Bentley. My full name is Bentley Patterson.
I like it. That's a good name.
Wow. What's your first name?
Robert.
Robert Bentley Patterson.
That is a name to live up to.
Sounds very impressive.
Yes, very. That's a big name to carry.
You got Dirk's Bentley tickets. Do you want to go to the show?
I would love to go to the show.
Because the whole thing made me so tired, I don't even know if I could go to the show now. Just trying to explain the contest that had no explanation. Again, that contest, well, Dave, in case you missed it, was if someone's named Bentley, call now.
Right.
Well, it started off with if you know a Dirks, then if you are a Dirk.
But someone is texting now that says their dog is named Bentley. Now, that's kind of cool.
The dog can't go to the concert.
That's true.
Not since the incident. The tickets on sale again at LiveNation.com. Show is next Friday at 7:20, Stu.
Steve, we're monitoring a developing story from New York this morning. Police say a Manhattan subway station has been evacuated after a report of suspicious devices there. There are reports from CNN and Fox this morning that there were two pressure cookers found at the Fulton Street station that carries bus lines and trains. It's a very busy station. No reports of any injuries. It's just a few blocks from the World Trade Center. We're monitoring the story, and we'll bring you more details plus more news coming up at 7:30.
Let me go back to Steve here. Steve Grzanich. Pressure cookers found in the New York City subway system. For those just getting up, just turn it on the radio. Tell them what happened again.
And we can happily say that this has resolved itself pretty quickly, but police found two suspicious packages, large pressure cookers or other some type of kitchen appliances in the subway station that's just about two blocks from the World Trade Center, the Fulton Street station. Within just the last couple of seconds, Steve, the NYPD says that there were no explosives found in either of these appliances at that subway station. The place has been evacuated, though, and obviously it's going to be a little while before they get things back to normal, but happy to say this is nothing in New York.
Excellent. Thank you. Right. 7:25. Let's do this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Who's teaching the next generation of Warren Buffetts and Bill Gates? Loewy Sickle joins us on the phone now as the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Do you prefer Sickle?
Loewy Sickle's fine. Yeah, sometimes go with the middle name, you know. But
what is your nickname? What do your friends call you?
My friends call me Loewy.
All right. Well, I consider myself a friend. We've known each other for a minute now, so you're Loewy.
There you go.
All right, so Loewy, here's what Loewy does. Author, speaker, MBA. She goes around the country, and she talks to kids about entrepreneurship and inspiring them how whatever ideas they have in their fertile minds could turn into big things that could change the world. That sounds like a pretty good gig to me.
You know what? It's a really cool gig, actually. I come from a business background, and one thing sort of led to another. I have a company that also writes business school case studies, and I'd always thought, gosh, these are amazing stories to teach kids. No one's telling kids about how these companies came to be and how these founders started these great companies like Nike and Google and, Lego. And so I wrote a book series, which came out this year, called From an Idea to, and each book tells the story of how one of these companies came to be, starting with a founder as a kid, and teaches kids just kind of simple business and entrepreneurship terms and tells them a great story along the way. And then what I decided to do this summer was take it one step further, because it's one thing to read about a story and an entrepreneur and a founder, and it's another to do it. And so I am starting to create these Idea Tank for kids, which are essentially Shark Tank type of competitions for kids with ideas.
That's
and so
cool.
We created an incredible panel of judges with some of the best well-known folks from the Chicago area, and we had over 50 kid entrepreneurs pitching to win a big cash prize, and it was just such an incredible experience. And so we're expanding it to some other markets next year and bringing it back to Chicago. And yeah, I mean, everyone seems really excited.
Yeah, I remember when I was a little kid, a friend of mine thought he could have a flying chocolate chip cookie oven. He thought it'd be cool. And I said, well, why does a chocolate chip cookie oven have to fly? He goes, well, other kids like cookies. But that's the beauty of a little kid's mind. A little kid's mind can imagine anything in between 8 and 14, which is the target range for this Idea Tank.
Exactly right.
You know, this is kids who've gotten a little older. They start to understand formation in the world, what things are, what they aren't, but their creativity hasn't been watered down yet. So it's got to be nothing but fun.
It's nothing but fun. And it was really interesting with this Idea Tank, this first one we did this summer. We had probably two-thirds of the kids were age 10 and 11, which I thought was really interesting. So we opened it up from anyone from age 8 to 14, and but these 10 and 11-year-olds, it's kind of the sweet spot of creativity. They still have the courage to, you know, get in front of a big audience and pitch their idea. You know, they're not kind of thinking about what others think. And, oh, my gosh, it was just amazing to see some of the things that came out. And these judges came to us, and it came to me in the final deliberation of who's going to win. And they were like, I can't choose.
Right.
I mean, this is just incredible. I've got to come up with, like, some sort of matrix, you know, to analyze this deeper. But kids are incredible, and I go around and speak to schools all over the country, and you know, kids come up to me after my school talks and they're like, I have this idea, and how can I create a business? I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not asking kids to like leave school at the age of 10, but it's amazing what they can do in their spare time, you know, instead of be on a screen or play a video game.
No question.
So
give them an outlet,
cool.
And amazing things can happen. By the way, the books are From an Idea to Disney, From an Idea to Nike, From an Idea to Google, From an Idea to Lego, all things that kids can wrap their heads around and get excited about this stuff. I mean, I was 30, I grew up in the 70s, and I was 30 years old, and I had no idea how to start a business. Because it hadn't been taught to me. And that was in the 70s when fundamental, foundational stuff you would have thought would have been taught. Now kids have so many different resources and things, but you got to point them in the right direction. And I think that's what you do, Louie.
Yeah, point them in the right direction. And, you know, there's some important themes out there, right? Like, it's really important to fail. It's really important to be okay with failing and making mistakes and learning from that, because, you know, no one does it right the first time. We had one of our judges at Idea Tank was Thomas Parkinson, the founder of Peapod. And, you know, he was really great about talking about all the different companies he started and how he took learnings from each of those, and you just can't give up. You know, those are the great entrepreneurs, are the ones who learn from their mistakes and their failures and keep going. So I think that's a really important theme in today's world, because, you know, I don't know, I've got three kids, and every time they're on a soccer team, they get a trophy, and it's like, well, come on, you know, it's okay to not be the best, you know?
Yeah, because you don't learn until you fail at something, and pain creates progress.
That's right.
Louie, well done by you. Where do people find out more? Should I send them to ideatankforkids.com?
That would work. Idea Tank for Kids will tell you all about the Idea Tank stuff. And then I've got my author website, which is loiesickle.com. And I've got a funny name. It's hard to spell both names. So you can just Google Louie author, L-O-W-E-Y. And I've got a wealth of information about, you know, my books and school visits and the Idea Tank. And it's just really cool stuff.
Keep up that great energy.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
You most valuable person on the planet, you. Hold on for a second. And Rocky Wirtz, you mentioned, was one of the judges. Rocky's phenomenal with kids, so I wish I'd seen that. That would have been great.
Wow. Talk about, like, taking the traditional lemonade stand and turning it, you know,
into a lemonade enterprise.
Exactly.
And then it's my lemonade empire. Adam Hogue in New York City previewing the Giants-Bears game two of the Bears preseason, and I will be mocking most of it coming up here in a few moments.
Why? Because it's preseason or because it's Adam Hogue?
Oh, boy, now you've really opened the door.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's preseason. And Rokan threw Kevin Powell out of an airplane against Kevin's will yesterday. We're investigating that. And Kevin will be on next hour to explain. And he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what Kevin was doing? Uh-oh. He was skywriting the letters R-O-E high above
the suburbs.
Because Ro made him.
Yeah. He was thinking about Roe during one of the best experiences of his life.
Roe made him. Roe threw him out of the plane.
Oh, my goodness. Now, so. I did the fake, like, trying to swim and that sort of thing.
Well, that must have been fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Roe skydiving? I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it.
He's done it before, right? I think.
Has he really?
I thought it was Roe with Kevin.
No. I think Roe has done it before.
Roe likes airplanes, and he knows airplanes inside and out, but I didn't know he'd skydive, because I just pictured him screaming all the way to the ground.
Maybe we could go hang gliding. That's a different kind. Maybe that's more appealing to you. Would you like to do that?
I'm busy that day. We'll be back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
Well, I mean, we all saw what we saw, and I saw the same thing, so, you know, I'm going to keep that just between us internally, but it was disappointing. You know, but we'll handle that internally and make sure that that we do it the right way.
Disappointing that you've had to go for 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's the competitive nature of the guys. Yesterday to me was a little bit more of a pillow fight. You know, today I thought was a little bit just like I said, it was just disappointing.
Hello, Cool J borrowed my hat. Never gave it back. What? Was that out loud? Adam Hogue standing by in New York. Giants and the Bears tonight, game two of the preseason. Ooh, I'm tingly with excitement. But I love Adam Hogue, and Adam Hogue will explain it in a second. And yes, G, you don't know this, but you have to say the full name, Adam Hogue. Yes. It's contractually
Adam
obligated.
Hogue. Adam Hogue.
Adam Hogue.
So let's find out if Phil Sims or Lawrence Taylor will be the
Bears. No, they won't, please.
Fran Tarkenton could be the Bears' biggest problem tonight. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, number 10.
Francis could be the Tarkenton. Bears' biggest problem. Let's go to Adam Hogue and find out about these Bears and these Giants. Good morning, Adam Hogue.
Good morning, guys. Yes, another chapter in the long history of the Bears and Giants rivalry. It'll be intense tonight, I'm sure.
Will any of the regular Bears play any of the regular downs tonight, or are they too soft?
Well, I'm not going to call the players soft.
I wouldn't either. You got to see them every day.
All right, I'm not expecting them to play because look, Matt Nagy still hasn't announced that he likes to keep this close to the vest, but the fact that they turned Wednesday's practice, it was supposed to be in the morning, and they moved it to the evening, and held a controlled scrimmage. I mean, that's a pretty good indication that Matt Nagy wanted to get these guys, because it was a full game what they did on Wednesday night. They had 60 plays each, offense, defense, did everything on special teams. I mean, that tells me they were trying to get a preseason game in at House Hall without playing these guys. And maybe I could be wrong, maybe because last week, you know, he still got the starters out there for a series or two, but that's the most I would think they would play after what they did Wednesday night.
And remember, Dave, in the new NFL, each National Football League prospective player is wrapped in bubble wrap before every practice.
Correct.
Just to make sure they're going to be okay.
That's how it should be. That's right.
It's fun.
Well,
here's what I liked about what they did on Wednesday, because I get that side of it, and there's a valid argument that these guys need to put the pads on and hit each other and callous themselves up for the regular season in these preseason games. I'm not gonna discredit that at all, because there's some teams that do. Even Andy Reid with the Chiefs, Matt Nagy's mentor, believes in that. The Chiefs play their starters. But what I like about what Matt Nagy did, he set up essentially a game the other night where they could actually run real plays. Like, that's the problem with the preseason. If you're going to say Mitch needs to get out there and see a real live defense, these defenses aren't showing what they're going to show in the regular season.
Sure.
It's very vanilla. So what they were able to do is make it more like a real game, even though they weren't actually hitting full speed, if that makes sense, but give him real looks. And take the risk of injury out of it at the same time, because that is something that no one wants to see, one of these big-time players get hurt, because that could really negatively affect a season that they all believe they could actually win the Super Bowl this year.
And he clearly doesn't want to see any of them get hurt by fighting each other. That happened the other night with... And it's weird, Adam, because when it's a veteran like Kyle Long, and I mean, it's certainly not Kyle Long's first, nor will it be his last practice field skirmish, but you would think at some point the message gets through, and especially from this coaching staff, which seems to have made it a priority, they don't want guys bashing each other.
Well, and I think that's why, and you guys played the cut coming back from Matt Nagy, why he was so disappointed about this particular situation. You know, it's pretty remarkable, because they went through pretty much all of Bourbonnais without any kind of skirmish at all until the last day, when Kyle Long and Akeem Hicks got into it a little bit. There were no punches thrown or anything like that. They just kind of got in each other's faces. And then they get back to Hallis Hall, their first practice at Hallis the other day. And it's more of a fight between Javon Wims and Prince Amukamara, but it was only Wims who was throwing punches, and he's a second-year player, so he's younger. And Prince, the veteran, didn't throw any punches back, which was actually pretty remarkable. But I think that's why Matt Nagy wasn't too upset about that situation, because it was the younger guy, the less mature guy, that was doing the tough stuff. And then I'm sure after that happened the other day, he addressed the whole team. And then so the next day, for then there to be a veteran do it, after that had happened the day before, and Matt Nagy made it very clear, we're not going to tolerate this, I think that's why it kind of crossed the line for Nagy, why he was so upset. Now, it's still Kyle Long. I doubt there'll be any kind of like big punishment or anything like that, but you do need to hold these guys accountable. But look, this is the point of camp where these guys are sick of facing each other in practice every single day. And at some point, and we're still 3 weeks out from the regular season, but, they're probably just getting sick of each other at this point.
Super Joe's here. Super Joe, maybe they wouldn't be hitting each other if they could hit the other team.
Hmm? That would help. I think that would help.
Hmm?
So, Adam, you've been covering the White Sox all summer long. They've been preaching patience, and then you go and now you're with the Bears. There's obviously a lot more emphasis on winning now. Is that apparent in camp? Is that apparent, in the preseason games?
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's no patience here after what they did last year. They went through two or three years of trying to preach patience without being so transparent, as the White Sox are. You know, the White Sox ripped this thing down. They made it very clear, like, this is a rebuild. You're going to have to, be patient. Now, the Bears' approach actually was a rebuild as far as the general manager, Ryan Pace, was concerned, but they never really came out and made it that obvious. And so that was kind of the big difference. But here they are, and they're ready to win, right? I mean, it's not Super Bowl or bust, because it's not like there's anyone that's going to get fired if they don't win the Super Bowl this year or anything like that. The roster is built for at least a two-year window of winning, because that's before 2 years before you have to pay Mitch Trubisky, and then that's when things get really complicated from the salary cap perspective. But it could even be longer than 2 years, this window that they're in. That being said, in the NFL, these windows close way faster than in baseball. And so you have a defense that's ready now, and you have an offense that's ascending with a young quarterback that should be good enough for this year with this defense. You can never control injuries, but right now, at least it's not just on paper, because we saw what this team could do on the field last year too. It's there, and they have an opportunity this year that they really need to take advantage of.
All right, here's one question that confuses me a little bit. Two real quick, Adam Hogue.
Hold on. Confused Dave Ennett, Adam Hogue.
Okay, no, he hasn't confused. Okay. No, it hasn't been Adam Hogue who's done it.
Oh.
But, okay, so last year the Bears played five preseason games because they played the Hall of Fame game. And I think it was the third game where they actually played some guys for a while and then didn't really play in the last two. But now this is the second game this year, but it would have been the third game last year.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you, because this does get confusing, and it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
The easiest way for me to explain it is forget the Hall of Fame game ever happened. So that first preseason game last year.
Like, okay.
Because he didn't play anybody in that game at all.
Right.
The starters did not play in that first preseason game at all. So if you just stick with the traditional four preseason games that you would usually have, it was the second game, so your normal second game, which is what we have tonight, that he played most of his starters for about a half in Denver last year. That's... after they practiced against the Broncos for a couple of days. He played them for about the first half. And then we all thought, because this is what NFL teams do, that next game against the Chiefs, which was the all-important third preseason game that we always talk about, right? That was one, the one where, like, all right, everyone's going to play for maybe three quarters. And they announced the day before the game that he was holding everybody out. And they had a three-week layoff before the opener against the Packers. So what's different this year, if they do hold these guys out tonight, I do not expect him to play next week or either against the Colts. Now, he could change this thing up. Who knows? Maybe he thought the layoff last year was too long, so he's holding them for next week. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in Matt Nagy's head. The one thing I like about him is he seems willing to adapt. He's not sticking to his ways. Like, he just pulls this audible the other night and has this scrimmage. So it'll be interesting to watch. He's certainly keeping us on our toes. But after the scrimmage the other night, I just can't imagine that, at least in tonight's game, he started to play too much.
Last question, and this is the most important. What alias are you registered under at your New York hotel so you're not bothered by groupies?
I just went straight with Mitchell Trubisky.
I'd go with Y.A. Tittle. Y.A. Tittle, the Giants quarterback from the 60s when Dave was in his 30s, would be the quarterback that I would register under.
Adam Hoge, are you eating your vegetables while you're traveling on the road?
Y.A. Tittle would.
Actually, I am. I had a nice salmon salad yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
I want you to maintain your nutrition as well as you're traveling and covering the teams.
What will that show up as on your expense report when I get it?
The expensive salmon that he ordered?
Yes.
It'll show up as a cab to practice.
Yeah.
And I am in New York, so it still costs about $150.
That happens. You know what? Spend all you want. Give me Nexstar on the line. I have to explain Adam Hoge. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That's Adam Hoge. Yep, there you go. Isn't it fun to say Adam Hoge?
It is.
Adam Hoge. It's
good. I've missed him.
You know, if Adam Hoge married Anna Balaval, she would be Anna Balaval Hoge, or he would be Adam Hoge Balaval.
Okay, now I'm confused.
I'll get back to you. All right, it is 7:59, and the award-winning, soon-to-be award-winning, probably will never win an award, more on entertainment coming up. Dean Richards is actually around town for Anna Balaval, and he will join us shortly. Also, next hour, Kevin Powell, again, if Kishi missed this news, was thrown out of an airplane against his will.
Better stop saying
that. By Rokan. Fortunately, he's okay, but we'll talk to Kevin about that and whether he's going to file charges. So we'll see what happens. By the way, they found another pressure cooker in New York at a separate location. Steve will have that in the news next. Doesn't appear to be weaponized. Details coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Steve Cochran Show continues with Moron Entertainment. You know what they say, Dean Richards? It takes two morons to make a moron village. Remember that old saying?
I do remember that from, I think that was Mark Twain who said that, wasn't it?
It was. It was Mark Twain's brother, actually, Mitch. Mitch Twain.
It was Jimmy Twain.
Why are you on the phone today as opposed to comfortably ensconced in your corner office there at Channel 9?
Facing the wall.
Facing a brick wall in my luxury digs at Bradley Place. I am Anna Balaval. How do you say it?
Anna Balaval!
Yeah, she's out sick today. She's not feeling well.
Oh, no. Feel better, Anna.
Anna Balaval.
Yeah, so,
Anna Balaval.
I'm feeling in for her. I'm also
so
trying to
weird
talk
that she would get
today if possible.
So weird, Dean, that she gets sick on a Friday.
It's curious, isn't it? Yeah.
I am sure she is legitimately under the weather, gentlemen.
No, she is. She practically lost her voice on the air yesterday, so she is legit sick. You know, two little kids in her house. She spent the last 10, 12 years, catching colds from her kids.
Sure.
But we're here in Elk Grove Village today at a place called Design Toscano. They're having their big warehouse sale this weekend, and what makes it unusual, it's a warehouse that's filled with furniture, paintings, antiques, but the most unusual statuary, home furnishings. For example, right now I'm looking at some old British-style telephone booths. Mom, what's a telephone booth? You know, little kids won't know what that is.
Right.
But some of you older people might remember what the British style, those red phone booths. I'm looking at statues of horses and gargoyles and Egyptian goddesses and porpoises and giraffes.
Wow. Talk about a selection over there.
Monkey. Steve, there's monkeys to choke a horse here.
Oh, I love the monkeys.
Statues and statuary of
Mickey Dolenz. Is Mickey there?
Mickey's here. Mike Nesmith. Right. All of the monkeys. Hey, because people say they monkey around.
Right.
This is, I don't know how big this warehouse is, but it's gigantic and it's filled with all kinds of stuff. And they're having their big. Some of the things are chipped and dented and irregulars, but it's really cool. For businesses, for homes. They tell me that a lot of movie studios contact them and buy their stuff for props.
And what's this place? Movies. Where is it again?
It's in Elk Grove Village. It's called Design Toscano. I know it's on Kirk Road.
Okay.
I'm sure if you Google it, you can look it up to get the exact address. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool place, so I'm sure I'm going to be coming home with a giant Humpty Dumpty statue.
Well, that's today. What I was going to ask you. You're a stylish gentleman. I mean, is your home very handsomely appointed with statues and other decor?
Yeah, I really don't have any statues in my house at all.
Dean's place is mostly velour. It's got a lot of velour. Yeah.
I like the Naga hide and I like the velour. I do not have any statues, but how impressive would it be if you rolled up to my house and there's a giant life-size moose right on my front lawn? Hey, that would impress the neighbors, I got to think.
Speaking of moose, you know what moose love? Moose love spam. Did you hear about this spiced spam? You know, like the what's the spice called? The coffee. Meat.
Oh.
The coffee spice.
Nutmeg? Pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice spam is a thing.
Now, don't be knocking spam. People love spam.
I know.
I love
spam. You know what? I love the sound it makes when it comes out of the can.
Yeah, that's a good sound.
That little suction.
It falls out on the plate and that gelatinous just plop right onto the plate. But you cut that up and you fry that up in a pan.
It's good, right,
that's,
Dean?
That's delicious. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I love it.
I was in a band called Gelatinous Plop.
I was at a McDonald's. What? In Hawaii recently, and on their menu, I didn't order it, but I saw it on the menu, you can buy for breakfast scrambled egg, spam, and rice at McDonald's.
Well, did you know that Hawaii is the biggest consumer of spam? Because,
I'm not one bit surprised.
I don't know why Ravini is sponsoring this segment. It should be sponsored by spam.
Absolutely.
That's right.
All right, now I know you got to go do a TV hit. When you finish that, and we finish the commercial break, can you come back and tell us about a couple of movies?
Yeah, we are a finely tuned, synchronized radio TV enterprise today.
Look at it, he's doing radio. He's going to jump to TV. He's going to jump back to radio.
That's exactly. Amazing.
The pressure Dean's under is unbelievable.
How do we afford him?
Are we calling you, or are you calling us?
I'm just going to stay on the line.
All right.
Just going to set the phone down for a minute.
All right, we'll be back with more Dean coming up on Moron Entertainment. Also, he mentioned a phone booth. Producer Viv has given us things that people don't do anymore, an entire list.
Right.
One of which is going to a phone booth because you can't find them. You know where there are payphones? There's a bank of payphones I saw at O'Hare.
Really?
And they're kind of like people in the winter who have to go outside to smoke. They're like behind two escalators. There's like five payphones. And they're behind two escalators. that you'd really have to look to find them, and there's payphones there.
I wonder who would need to use a pay. I mean, I guess if your cell phone, well, they have cell phone chargers. I guess if you just don't have a cell
phone. If you lose your cell phone, that happens all the time.
Or if you're dealing drugs.
Well, I do.
And you don't have your burner phone with you.
See, now look, you went to the dark side. Look at that.
No, I'm just saying practical uses.
Involved in a kidnapping? Mm-hmm. You know, never know.
Well, you know, I do the thing where I have to ask someone for the phone charger, like the cell phone charger.
At the airport?
Yeah. Hey, I forgot my cell phone.
What kind of reaction do you get?
You should do it really nicely.
Well, you're a nice person. You're a nice person. You're a delightful human being. If I go up with this face, if I go up to somebody and ask them for a phone charger, they're going to think I'm mugging them.
No, they'd be like, Steve Cochran, sure you can have my phone charger.
Okay, let's go on just the slim assumption they won't know who I am, which would be 99% of the population. If I go up to somebody at the airport, Dave, I don't know you. I go up to you at the airport and go, hey, my phone died. Could I borrow that charger of yours? With this face, what are you going to say?
I would say sure.
No, what you'd say is, security!
No. Are you going to say it like you're a mobster?
I know.
Hey, my phone died. Are we going to have a problem here? Are you going to let me borrow that charger?
I would say, where are you going to be?
Where I can keep an eye on you. Yeah.
And I would say, well, why are you assuming that I'm stealing your charger? Why
I may need it back.
Why are you so mean?
You could be getting on a flight, and where's my charger going to be?
Spain?
Yes.
I'd point to my headphones and pretend that like there was something happening in my headphones and just, yeah, I can't hear you, bud.
What? You know, you do the Chuck Todd move. Remember when we were in Iowa for the last convention before America ended in 2016, or the last caucuses, I should say. Chuck Todd's walking by. We were having breakfast, and Chuck Todd's walking by our table for breakfast, and he did the I'm pretending I'm on my phone trick. So he could get to his booth. He didn't know it was me.
Oh.
I went, hey, Chuck. He didn't know it was me, and he kept walking. By the way, the other time I've interrupted somebody, yesterday I saw Steve Sands from the Golf Channel in Medina. Mm-hmm. Sands is sitting in a golf cart. He's on the phone. Well, I'm pulling up. There's somebody behind me, and I want to say hi to Sands. I never do this. Windows down. I go, Stevie, it's Cochran. And he looks up. Hey. And I drive by. So I'm an idiot. So then I stop the car and I text him and go, hey, I'm the rude idiot. I just wanted to say hi.
And how did he respond?
He responded, no, I was being rude. I was talking to my wife. I should have said hi. And I said, no, I'm rude. And then he texted back and said, no, I'm rude.
Continual apology.
But he could have been like doing a radio interview.
Right.
Yeah, it was rude of me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, nobody trumps talking to the wife. That's all I've got to say.
Right. And it's a great excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have that one handy even if it wasn't true. So, Dean will tell us about some stuff going on around town outside of the Air and Water Show and any other entertainment stories going on, plus a movie review or two when we come back.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 970.
Back to Dean.
Top man.
Live for Alabama Bob's. At what location?
West Coast.
It's called Design Toscano. Their warehouse sale is tomorrow and Sunday. What's the address on Kirk Road? 1100 Kirk Road in Elk Grove Village. What time do you open tomorrow? 8 o'clock it opens. So Steve, I'm looking at Rex the Bulldog statue right now. It's a bulldog wearing a smoking jacket.
Oh, very nice.
That you can put like a glass platform on one of his hands is, you know, like he's holding a tray, so you could put your cigarettes in that.
That totally classes up the joint. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, well, just a bulldog in a smoking jacket. There's a statue of the butt of a terrier.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got.
Looks like he's digging in the ground.
Come on.
This is, like, really cool stuff here.
All right, so if you don't go to the Air and Water Show this weekend, what else should you do in Chicago?
Well, there's I've talked about this many times, this big dance benefit that I hosted for 20 years. I haven't for several years now, but for 20 years of its existence, I hosted Dance for Life, which started off as a benefit for people who were fighting HIV and AIDS. And now, since that's a little bit more under control now, it is for people fighting chronic illnesses who are in the dance community. Six different different dance companies all perform on the same stage in the same night, and it's at the Auditorium Theater this coming Saturday night. So you may want to, if you're a fan of dance, that's definitely something you want to check out. I'm going to be at Bernadette Peters on Saturday night. She's performing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Love her.
That is going to be an amazing show. She is so talented. I cannot wait for that show.
Ask her if she's still married to Steve Martin.
Yeah, I don't think she is. I don't think she ever was, actually. Married. They were...
That was just a movie.
I believe that they were living in sin in real life.
Oh, were they?
For many years. Tons of concerts. Dionne Warwick is at River Edge Park in Aurora. That is actually tonight. Three Dog Night. Remember them? Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Three Dog Night, tonight. To me, is one of the more underrated bands of the 70s. I love Three Dog Night.
I agree. I couldn't agree with
I've
you
got
more, Steve.
Pieces
I know
of
you're
April.
A big,
I keep them in a memory bouquet.
What is
I've
that?
Got pieces of April.
I've never heard of that.
But it's a morning in May.
That was one of their worst ones.
Wow.
There was one is the loneliest number. That was a good one.
Steve is lost.
One is the loneliest
number that you
Oh, they sang
about
that song?
Joy to the World.
Oh, yes.
Joy to the World, Joy to you and me.
You know, Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Are they all together still, all three of the dogs?
I actually, there is a Jeremiah bullfrog statue here at where I am this morning.
All comes full circle.
Wow.
Steve, I know you're a big Yitzhak Perlman fan. He's going to be...
he's here right now. Let's bring him out. Yitzhak Perlman, everybody.
Yitzhak. He's playing with the CSO at Ravinia tomorrow night. Ben Harper is at Northerly Island.
And, you know, Ravinia sponsors a segment. I don't know if you knew that.
I do know that. We appreciate that. We love them for that. On Sunday, Steve, at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park, Nelly, TLC, and Flo Rida.
Yeah, well, you know, it's getting hot in here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do pieces of lyrics for the rest of the show. Yeah,
that's right. Throw any name of a performer at Steve. He'll give you 8 or 9 bars of whatever.
Right. The Texas Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen. Come on.
What is your favorite Bruce Springsteen song, Steve?
My Hometown. This is my hometown.
I like Dancing in the Dark. I think my favorite is Born to Run.
I was born in a factory. I was born on a conveyor belt. You know, that's the whole thing.
You would think that those songs are quintessentially American because, the lyrics speak to the working class so much. But they are the basis of, I think, the best new movie of the week, and really one of the best new movies of the year, called Blinded by the Light. You remember that song, Steve, don't you, by Manfred Mann?
Blinded by the Light, wrecked up like a deuce.
Deuce, which is a car.
Yes.
A deuce is a car. I had to look it up.
Right, wrecked up like a deuce.
In the middle of the night?
In the middle of the night.
Manfred Mann had the hit version of that, but it was Bruce Springsteen that wrote it. That's the name of the movie that you must see this weekend.
Okay.
Interestingly, it's about a London teenager who is of Pakistani descent. He lives in a very strict, very old-fashioned, very old country Pakistani household. His parents are immigrants in London. And this kid just feels trapped. He wants to be a writer. He wants to do more than what his parents are allowing him to do. At school, a friend of him turns him on to a Bruce Springsteen cassette. And he hears the songs and he hears those lyrics. And his world opens up and he realizes that he must follow his dream. He has to live out his own passion. This is the most charming, lovely, heartwarming movie. It's so nostalgic because it features all of these Bruce Springsteen songs that inspire this kid to go and follow his own dreams. It's a story about following your passion. It's a story about tradition, you know, the old country tradition that anybody could relate to. It's about respect of your parents. This movie is based on Bruce Springsteen songs, but it's about so much more. I love this. Blinded by the Light. I gave it a Dean's List A.
I am going to go see it based on what Dean just said.
How about that?
But this, that's what happens.
Really,
immigrant parents.
Really nice. Say it again.
I was just going to say, immigrant parents sacrifice everything to bring their kids over here so they can become a lawyer or a doctor, and then they want to get all creative.
Right.
But you're not talking about you. That's somebody else entirely.
it's a story that a lot of people can relate to, that your parents, you know, hope that you are going to be one thing and you have a passion to do something else. There's also the new movie this weekend that's called Good Boys that is produced by Seth Rogen.
Okay, can I admit how old I am? Listen, I like funny. I don't need to see a movie about 12-year-olds dropping F-bombs. I know they do it. I know they hear it at school. I know it's all based and it's all funny, and that's allegedly what I do. I don't know. I'm looking at trailers of this, and I'm going, somebody needs to grow up, and it's the people that made the movie.
Well, that's exactly what this movie is. This movie is definitely not for you. And people, you know, should be aware of that going in, because at the screening where I saw this movie, some people had no idea what they were going in to see. They got about 30 minutes into this movie and probably about 100 F-bombs and all kinds of very, very adult situations that these 6th graders, 12-year-olds, are getting into. They got up out of their chairs and they walked. So if that's something that you don't think you'd be interested in or would be offended by, this is definitely not the movie for you. But, you know, it's relatable in a way, though. You know, in 6th grade, you're learning a lot of words that your parents would rather you not say. You're getting into situations because you want to act grown up, even though you are not. That's what this movie is about. It's about these kids getting into very awkward, inappropriate situations for little kids. I gotta say, I laughed out loud many times during this movie. So
I don't doubt that I'd laugh if I went. I'm just not going.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. I gave it a Dean's List B plus because I'm just telling you about the entertainment. But it is a very hard R rated movie. There are little 12-year-old kids in this movie that are, you know, talking like they're in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Exactly.
At the same time. So be aware of that.
And I picture just off stage the stage mom and dad who shoved them into the movie, and I couldn't be more proud.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a thing that I've been talking about with a lot of people lately. You know, how much is it worth to you? You got to leave some residual damage on a kid.
Otherwise, how are they going to get a therapist?
Yeah, this is your job. Yeah, in fact, we actually talked with the little kids. We interviewed them, and we talked about the bad language, and the kids were saying, I didn't even know what I was saying. I didn't even know what most of these words meant. My parents were right there, you know, and if we were uncomfortable with anything, you know, we could stop at any time.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I'm not sure, you know, if I had little kids who were working in the movies, that I would want them doing some of the things you see in this movie saying some of the words. But it's funny. I will give them that. It's a funny movie.
All right, but go to the other one. All right, buddy, enjoy your weekend. We'll hear you on the radio Sunday.
Steve, I'm going to pick you up a life-size peacock sculpture for your office.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. My office, middle of my house. That's the great Dean Richards filling in for Hannah Balavant. See what I did there? Let's come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave Ennett bringing sexy back. I think we could all agree on that. Mm-hmm. Well, by now you've heard all morning long the story of Kevin Powell breaking free on a commercial jet, opening a door and jumping out of it. That's what happened
a
yesterday.
A commercial jet?
Isn't that what happened?
Not exactly.
And jumping or was pushed?
Well, he's pushed out by Ro Khan. Yes. Miraculously, he survived. We'll talk to Kevin Powell coming up in a second about jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. In the meantime, also, next hour on this program, what's going on this weekend with the Air and Water Show? Well, Enzo Montana, Director of Marketing for Chicago Harbors, will talk about what it's like to be out on a little boat. Perfect day to be out on a little boat.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to watch the show.
I got to blow up a raft. I'm just going to roll it out in the middle of the lake. Yeah. 8:48. Before we get to that, we get to this on 720 WGN.
You know, I jumped one year with the Golden Knights.
They asked me to do it several times, and I said, you don't want me attached to your back.
You want to do it. It was one of the best experiences of my entire life.
You know who's doing it today?
Who?
allegedly.
Oh, yeah.
One of our colleagues in the WGN Sports Department.
Uh-huh. I just saw that on Facebook.
KP.
He tweeted it, yeah.
Kevin's jumping?
Kevin is jumping.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Steve, you should totally do it.
She hasn't talked me into it either.
How about you and Kevin in a tandem jump?
Oh, my.
I would do it if Kevin didn't know that I was not the military guy, that I was actually the guy behind him. I would do it for the laugh.
Like at the last minute.
Yeah. He turns around.
Hey, Kev.
I tap the military guy. Just before we jump out, he turns around and sees my face.
Woo! Stop! I'm
free. You know, I love Kev. You know that. I discovered Kev, he was a wino, just roaming the streets. Made him the producer of the Steve Cochran Show when I came back, got him sober, and turned him into something.
Wow. And then he went on to work for Rokan. You primed him to work for Rokan.
It's a ridiculous story. Kev is a great guy. He was a great guy before. He wasn't a wino, but he was thrown out of an airplane yesterday by Rokan against his will. That's the only explanation I can come up with, because I know Kev, and he wouldn't jump out of an airplane that wasn't broken. Right?
Right, Steve. 100% accurate. 100% accurate, Steve. I did it for the show. I did it for the station, and I was absolutely pushed out of a plane by Rokan.
And I think charges should be filed, but hey, that's just me. You know, the lovely Jisoo Kyi sitting here jumped out of an airplane, and she did it perfectly willingly. When was that?
2014, with the Golden Knights over the city.
Now, I say she did. She met it just to meet a nice military man in a military outfit. But you know a lot of military guys. You didn't need to meet them that way.
I didn't. This was actually a bucket list situation for me, Steve, and to do it with the Golden Knights. I was waiting for the nerves to kick in, and I'm guessing it's probably because I knew I had the Golden Knights. I was in good hands. I never really freaked out. Maybe right when they kind of opened the door to the plane, which is a sort of plane you've never really you've been in before. It's narrow, and there's just kind of two rows of seats, and it's a little nerve-wracking when they open up the door and you look down. But knowing you're with the Golden Knights, it kind of takes a lot of the nerves out of it. It was unbelievable. I mean, the rush that you get from it was just incredible.
And nothing could have gone wrong at all. I mean, Dave is here. Dave, you have a special report, I'm told.
Well, I do, but I just want to clarify one thing. Kevin made a reference to, it was a bucket list thing for me. Kevin, you just had your 30th birthday.
Yeah,
you don't need a bucket list at this point in your life.
That's what I thought.
Unless you're going to jump out of it. You have to be a certain age to have a bucket list?
No, you can have a bucket list anytime, Kevin. It's okay.
That's okay. All right.
So here's the story. Dave's been doing exceptional investigative work on this.
Yeah, we've learned that a Canadian woman, well, the whole world has learned, that a Canadian woman survived a 5,000-foot fall from a skydiving plane after her parachute failed to open in Quebec on Saturday. The 30-year-old woman hit trees as she landed in a wooded area, is now recovering in a hospital with several fractures, including broken vertebrae. Police said her life is not in danger. The woman was participating in a jump at a skydiving facility when the incident happened.
Crazy.
Skydivers, Kev, free fall at a speed of 110 miles an hour, approximately 1,000 feet every 6 seconds, according to the U.S. Parachute Association.
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean,
other than you're lucky to be alive.
Yeah, why don't we tell him that beforehand?
Yeah, you should have tried to scare me. Yeah, it was insane. I mean, right when you jump, you're going so fast that you can't even believe what's happening, and then you kind of take a couple deep breaths, and then you soak it all in, and then right when you pulled the chute, you kind of go from belly down to straight up, and right when he did that, I sort of freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? What happened? I'm like, oh, he just pulled the parachute. Thank God. And then after that, because the initial rush is so intense, and then when he pulls the chute, it's like the most relaxing experience. You're just kind of floating all the way down. It was unbelievable.
At any point, did you scream?
I don't think so. I don't know. It all kind of happened so fast. I don't think there was much screaming. You're kind of focused on just breathing.
I never thought of you as a thrill seeker. I've known you for years. I never thought of you as a thrill seeker, but you are, huh?
I don't know if I'm necessarily a thrill seeker. I mean, after I did it, the first thing I said when we landed was, can we do it again? So I don't know. Maybe this turned me into a thrill seeker.
G wants to do it again, right? G, you'd do it again, wouldn't you?
I would only do it with the Golden Knights. I don't trust any old Joe out there.
Whoa, I think that's part of it too. It's like I kind of went to the pinnacle of tandem jumping with the Golden Knights. So everything now is kind of, I don't know if it would reach this sort of excitement level. But if I ever get the opportunity again, I'm going to do it.
Did you go back up?
No, we did not. It was just one jump. Yeah.
Where'd you jump?
It was at the Skydive Chicago in Ottawa, Central Illinois, which the Golden Knights say is one of their favorite spots to jump.
Well, why didn't you jump over the city? They threw G out of the plane over the city.
I don't know. They said you're jumping out of Ottawa. They said, okay, sounds good. I didn't ask questions.
Didn't want you
to be in Ottawa.
Down
that's
the Trump Tower for all we know.
Yeah, he didn't want him to hit anything on the way down and damage it.
I want to know what's next on your bucket
list.
Well,
I have it right here, Mayor Vandeveld. It's funny you say, because Rokan is putting him in the station van today, blindfolding him, telling him to drive 100 miles an hour up Michigan Avenue.
Oh, brilliant.
I hope it ends up at the Dyna Country Club, because that's where I'm headed next, Steve. You were there yesterday, right?
You going out to Medina?
Yeah.
We're gonna put you on a driving range 100 yards out and see how many tour pros can hit you.
I have some more statistics here. The U.S. Parachute Association says that last year there were 13 fatal skydiving accidents in the U.S. out of around 3.3 million jumps.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's one fatality for every 243,669 jumps. However, tandem jumps have even better odds, one per every 500,000 jumps over the past decade.
Yeah, I think you're pretty safe with tandem. Now, there is this 1 second, I mean, Kevin, I don't know if you experienced that too, where you did think, like, I mean, this could go wrong.
Well, I would
there
hope
that 1 second.
I would hope that at least occurred to you.
I mean, you do think, well, I mean, there could just be a freak accident. I mean, this isn't something that we're designed to do.
What's more dangerous? Yeah. What is more dangerous? Jumping out of an airplane or the Cubs playing on the road? What's more dangerous?
I would definitely say Cubs playing on the road. What a nightmare that is.
All right, wow. So Kev, we're proud of you in a strange way. And I'm sorry Ro continues to mistreat you. I just want you to remember, sure, you had to get up early to do this show, but I never threw out of an airplane.
That's right.
That's a very good point, Steve. That is a very good point. I'm just glad I made it out alive.
All right, buddy. Love you. See ya.
Love you guys. See
you. It's Kevin Paul, and we're back after this in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
With Comcast just a second, I was going to mention as well, CLTV is where we are right now. Wave to the folks at CLTV, Dave.
Good morning, CLTV.
And it's Friday, so sometime around 9:30 usually is when I run out of material on Friday.
He
so
just leaves.
9:30, I just start to maybe a little drool, just doze off. So look forward to that if you're new to the show. Next Friday night, I'll be at Zany's. With a couple of friends, John DeCosse and Mike Toomey, we're doing stand-up comedy. I guarantee it'll be funny. It's not going to be stuff you hear on the show every day. You should pay for it. And tickets are available at Zanies.com.
Talk about a plug.
Well, we'll give some free tickets away next week. But, you know, would it kill you to pay for it? I mean, I got 2 grandkids. Come on. What are you doing? No, it'll be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. Why don't you come to my shows anymore? You used to come to all my shows. Well,
I'm usually out of town when you're performing, but I think I might come next Friday night.
Well, that'd be great. At Zany's in St. Charles, 630-524-0001 and Zany's.com. Old friend in the studio, David Cohen. Nice to see you again.
It's great to see you. Appreciate your having me back. I guess I'm still doing okay if you'll invite me back.
Well, you know my rule. If you come in and you're a bad guest, I'm going to lose your number.
Well,
you
not, apparently well, not only on will the last, I not be on.
Yes,
even, not only will I not be on, but you'll call all your friends around the country. And
shut
I won't
it
be on
down.
Anyone else's show.
Shut it down.
Got it. The pressure is on.
But you were a great guest, and you do some things that I think are worthy of mentioning above and beyond the regular course of business. I guess that's where we start. Explain your tie to Comcast in the non-traditional way.
Well, I do think I have a non-traditional role in corporate America, because although I'm a business person and very involved in the business, I also have responsibility for something I have a lot of passion about,
right?
Which is the way in which Comcast gives back to the community and relates to our customers and all the communities where our employees and our customers live and work.
Now, I am a proud Comcast customer.
And I hope we do a good job for you.
Well, you do. And I pay my bill monthly, so I feel you've already given back. The remote works. You know, I can see what I need to see. What else are you giving back in?
Well, it's important that our customers are they're happy with our service, but it's also important that when they go out in the community, that they see that this is a company that's got a heart and a soul, as well as delivering innovative and fantastic products and services.
So how does that play out?
So hopefully you see, for example, you go out and you'll see hundreds of Comcast employees volunteering to clean up lots or to paint murals or to clean up schools on Comcast Cares Day. And for the reason I'm in Chicago today, hopefully you'll hear about, and you won't have any need to understand this or to recognize it, the work that we're doing to get people who are not connected to the internet connected to the internet.
That's a big deal because certainly there's some things of the internet we'd like to fix, but the internet is a miracle. I don't know any other way to put it. Yeah. And everybody deserves access. There are places in the world that that's probably years away. It certainly doesn't have to be here.
Right. And it, well, not only doesn't have to be here, it should not be here. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, the internet 10 or 15 years ago, you might have said the internet was a luxury. It is not a luxury today. You cannot survive in 21st century life without access to the internet.
It's a necessity. It's a utility.
Yeah. If you're a kid in school, your homework assignments require access to the internet. If you're back at home and you're looking for a job, we don't have help wanted pages in the Sunday papers anymore. You search for a job on the internet. You apply for a job on the internet. Accessing your health care benefits. And this is particularly true for vulnerable populations like seniors and veterans who have more need for access to benefits, and yet they are disproportionately not connected to the internet.
So how does Comcast fix that problem?
So we have this program called Internet Essentials, started it in 2011. It is a comprehensive wraparound approach to addressing the three major barriers, according to research, to broadband adoption. So we provide a low-cost service at under $10 a month, free modem, free Wi-Fi within the home. We provide the option to people to purchase a fully internet-capable laptop or desktop computer for under $150.
Right.
By the way, we've sold about 100,000 of those in the last 8 years. We've also given away about 10,000 free laptops to kids, veterans, people living in public housing, et cetera.
So if people know about the program, that's great, but how do they access it?
Okay, so we access the program through a lot of our nonprofit partnerships, which, by the way, are delivering the digital literacy training, which is, I think, the most important part of that three-legged stool to get people connected. We advertise. We have a website, www.internetessentials.com. Mm-hmm. We have a toll-free number, 1-855.
Let me just say, he's not reading this. He's not just it's not just any corporate big shot here. No. He's not reading.
Speaking
this.
From the heart,
right?
Yeah, he's got so no
I was,
notes.
But Dave, I was thinking, you know, you were sort of teasing about the plug. That's my plug. My plug, and we deliver this through friends in the media like you, and I don't just
I get
say
it.
That
no,
to
I totally
it.
Get it. But I interrupted your toll free number
1-855-8. Internet.
You know what would be great, though, honestly, and I don't know if you could pull this off ever, but if you had a couple of, like, really prominent world-class athletes that you could bring in studio at some point, that would be swell.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. I don't know if you mentioned that last year, but you may want to introduce who else is in the studio with us.
You mean they're here now?
What do you know?
You introduce them.
All right, I will introduce them. So in studio, right here in Chicago, are Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. They are...
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, David. They look similar.
Yeah, they are twins.
Strikingly similar.
They are twins. Someday, off the air, I'll tell you how I'm somehow able to begin to tell them apart, because they're really identical twins. But they were among the leaders on the U.S. women's ice hockey team that won a gold medal in Pyeongchang.
And, you know, Kendall Coyne is a good friend of the program.
Correct. And, and a good friend of theirs.
Yep.
But Monique scored the tying goal in the gold medal game against Canada.
I remember. I was screaming like a knucklehead.
And then Jocelyn scored the game-winning goal, not just scored the game-winning goal, but scored it in a shootout as the last U.S. shot in the game. And the women won gold for the first time in 20 years.
And you were in town with Comcast because you're actually presenting gold medals to some of your best community folks, right?
That's right, yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, this is our second stop this year, but last year we made over 10 stops on the IE tour, so we're excited to be in Chicago this year.
Well, you're spreading some good news. But I got to ask you a little bit about growing up as twins who actually got into hockey. Who got in first?
Well, we have four older brothers. So
they got in first.
So they got in, and we just wanted to follow them around to do what they were doing. And the rule was if we wanted to be playing with them, we had to be able to keep up. So we actually had a pond across the street from our parents' house growing up. So we would go and play outside all the
time. And where was that? Where'd you grow up?
Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Yeah.
So long,
by the way,
nice,
beautiful
long,
this time of year.
Yeah.
Summer in Grand Forks is today.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. Yeah.
When did you know you guys were good? Did you progress at the same level, kind of?
Yeah, we've always been pretty comparable with our athletic abilities, no matter what sport we were playing. I think we both went to Shattuck St. Mary's for high school.
Oh, that's the absolute hockey factory outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah, so I guess when we got there as freshmen and we excelled as freshmen on a U19 team, I think we kind of our eyes were open that, you know, our goals were attainable.
Were you surprised at how much impact that gold medal has had? I mean, you know, to be able to tie into Comcast, corporate giant, and to be able to reinforce good things their folks are doing in the community, that's a great thing. And that's just one of the wheels that you guys have as far as inspiring others.
Well, I think for us, we know that being an Olympian gives you a platform. Being an Olympic champion and a gold medalist just puts that at a whole nother level. And so for us, right away, we wanted to be able to use our platform to make change and do positive things with it. And so we're extremely fortunate that we actually had met David, or Jocelyn had met David before the Olympic season had really started. And afterwards, we had a few conversations with him, and just realizing that kind of our paths and the things that we want to do really align with Comcast corporate values initiatives, and especially the Internet Essentials program. So we're just really fortunate that we're able to kind of use Comcast platform to hopefully enhance the program and do make positive change and really help kids and Americans that really need the help.
G?
I want to know, as twins, does it give you a competitive edge on the rink because you can read each other's minds?
Well, I think so. We don't play the same position. I guess, but in the Olympics we were on the same line. So I guess when we are actually playing on a line together or on the ice together, we're just so familiar with what each other's going to do and the habits that we have. So I would say yes, that's an edge. But we don't play the same position anymore. So it's
who's better.
Steve.
No, because
we're better
I know
at different things. So like I'm playing defense now. Sure. And actually had played defense the last like 3.5 years up until December before the Olympics, and then I got put up to forward again. So I would just say our skill sets are very different, even though the average person would probably say we're
well, but see, that's very nice.
And I would say it's interesting because I want to give an NBC broadcaster credit. Because this question gets asked a lot.
And yeah, all the time.
During the Olympics, an NBC broadcaster coined the phrase, which was used more than once, of twin tuition.
Oh, twin tuition. Yeah. That had to be Doc. Was that Doc?
Got it.
I don't know if it was Doc, but it sounds like something Doc would have said.
AJ Malesko.
Oh, it was AJ Malesko. Because you know, you guys know Doc Emmerich. I'm sure you probably met Doc. Yeah. That sounds like a Doc thing because it's smart.
It is.
This is a really cool program, though, because I noticed in my neighborhood, we have a public library, but after closing hours, there would be all these folks sitting outside of the walls of the public library on the sidewalk. I was like, what are they doing out there? Well, they're doing it to get internet because they can't afford internet at home.
Oh, okay. So there's Wi-Fi there.
So after the public library closes, they would go, and it'd be like dozens of folks sitting outside.
By the way, in Chicago, let's give CPL a lot of credit because it doesn't happen in
Chicago Public Library.
The rule is that they keep their Wi-Fi on 24/7.
Right, but
they do not turn the Wi-Fi off.
I didn't know that.
Close the library.
Didn't know that.
So that's how you know there are lots of people in need, and especially with the kids' curriculum, a lot of the curriculum has to be done online. So if parents can't afford being online, then you fall behind in school.
One of my favorite Internet Essentials stories. And we have a lot of numbers, and we've connected 8 million people to the internet.
We should be proud of that.
And we are proud of it. But it's the stories that drive home the need. So one of my favorite stories is a Chicago story. A woman comes up to me at an Internet Essentials event, tears streaming down her cheeks, saying, I'm such a bad mother. I said, you can't be a bad mother. I mean, what he says, I don't have the internet at home. I have two middle school boys. I know they need the internet to do their homework. And what I have to do is, after dinner every night, I drive, I put my two boys in the back seat of the car, I drive to a McDonald's, I park in the parking lot, I hand my smartphone over into the back seat, and they share the smartphone and do their homework. And she looked at me and said, "Mr. Cohen, do you know how hard it is to write a term paper on a smartphone?"
And, well, on top of the fact, you think about the time and the effort it takes just to go through that process every night.
And so I said, "Well, can you afford this program? Does this work?" And she says, "I can't afford this program." And because this story was so compelling, we actually followed up with her. She did sign up for the program, and she's told us her kids are doing better in school.
That's great.
It's a more relaxing family life.
It's great.
And you take a story like that, and you say, that's why we're doing what
we're doing. That's why you do what you do.
That's absolutely right.
Comcast success means that being able to spread the wealth that way and pay it forward helps everybody. You know, ladies, being passionate advocates for gender equity, where are we with women's hockey?
I would say we're benefiting from the current contract that the team is under. We just came back from maternity leave, actually, and I'm pretty confident to say that USA Hockey probably has the best maternity benefits among Olympic sport federations in America, and so we're benefiting from that.
Who had a baby?
We both did.
Wow.
6 weeks apart.
They're twins. Yeah. Of course you did.
Twin tuition.
We're on the same timeline. So
right.
Everyone thinks it's weird.
That's weird. So who calls who and says they're pregnant?
I had Mickey 6 weeks before Jocelyn had her boy Nelson. So
right, but when you call your sister and say you're going to have a baby?
Well, I think I told... I was actually in Chicago for an event with Jocelyn when I figured out I was pregnant. So she knew before I told my husband.
Wow. That's a cool story. It's a very cool story. And I love what you guys are doing with this, because meeting you is a cool thing, and it's nice that folks get a chance to do that, see what a gold medal looks like and all that. But you inspire, you know, I mean, think about the little girls in this country that you inspire.
Absolutely.
That want to be athletes and want to know that it's okay to play.
Yeah, I mean, we remember the 98 team winning when we were in first grade. And sure. We were fortunate. Our mom put a lot of positive female athletes in front of us. She made sure that we saw that. And just the conversation of today is making sure that in sports specifically, women are being highlighted. Women are being, you know, they're on the news. They're on TV. And so just being a part of that conversation and trying to make what we do visible for the next generation, so that they can dream and aspire to do great things, whether that's in sport or just
in life.
In life, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's ultimately what's important, and that's why we do what we do.
I'm sorry, David.
I was just going to say, because of the relationship our company has with the Olympics, I've had an opportunity to interact with a lot of different Olympians over
time. Don't sell yourself short. You're a gold medal winner yourself.
No, believe me, not even
76 close. Moscow. Right. We were both there. Yeah. We were 10.
But one of the things that's fantastic about Jocelyn and Monique that I tell people is that, unlike a lot of other athletes, they bring their medals to events. They let kids hold their medals.
I would not even let the medal out of the house.
I'll ask you, why do you do that? Because I think it tells you what kind of people these two young women are.
Well, we remember seeing our first gold medal. It was Lisa Brown Miller. She's on the 98 team. But winning a gold medal, it's a dream come true. It's great. But what are we going to do? Lock it in a case so no one else can experience it?
Okay, you're right.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's sharing that. It's sharing the dreams, inspiring people. And,
well, it's got to be great to be able to see a child in particular.
Yep.
Nice, weighty. Very nice. To see a kid be able to look at that and see the dreams in their eyes.
Or a grown man child as well. This is fantastic.
Yes. A man child like me.
Is that any nicer than your 76 medal?
76, by the way, I misspoke. We were in Montreal.
All right.
So, listen. Comcast could do a lot of things with Comcast money, and Comcast as a major corporation is going to give back. But this is one of the things I always like to highlight when you're in town, because it gives an opportunity for us to talk about what you can really do as a major corporation to really make a change.
Right. And look, this program is in the sweet spot of our business. It's one of the reasons it's so wildly popular with our employees. They understand how important this is. And I say there are a lot of big companies in America, but Walmart or ExxonMobil, I mean, they're not going to close the digital divide. It's not their business.
Nope.
This is our business. We right. understand how important it is, and it's a major problem in our country, and shame on us if we don't go and put a lot of our weight behind this and do everything we can to close the digital divide.
Well, and I appreciate what you do behind closed doors and meetings and with folks in politics, too, because, you know, you're modest about it, but you've moved a lot of opinions in the right direction. Dave, you get the last word with the ladies.
What are our prospects for 2022 in Beijing?
Well, we obviously weren't at the last World Championships as we were on maternity leave, but the team won World Championships in a shootout against Finland, actually, this year. So that was the first World Championships that was not a U.S.-Canada final. So Finland's really up and coming and performing quite well. But in the short term, we hope to be on the World Championship team this year in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and then that would hopefully kind of put us on the road to hopefully making our fourth Olympic team. So it's it's quite a long road ahead, but that's kind of, the end goal is to make that Olympic team.
Get a couple more of these, too.
I was going to say, we just got back from national team camp on Tuesday, so that was our first camp back since the Olympics. And so
first game since the Olympics,
first game
too.
Since the Olympics as well. And so that's we're feeling pretty good with where we're at, but it's not where we want to be, so it's a step in the right direction.
The work continues. And by the way, two boys, boy and a girl, who had what?
Two Mickey boys? And Nelson.
Yep.
Okay, well, they're going to grow up as pals. How about that?
Hopefully.
Nice to see both of you. Thanks for what you're doing, and obviously thank you, Comcast. For people listening who want more information on the program, where do you send them?
I would send them either to the website, www.internetessentials.com, or our toll-free number, 1-855-8-INTERNET. By the way, that number will connect you to people who exclusively deal with Internet Essentials, not a regular sales
Very
channel.
Very cool.
Just people who know the program, understand the program, and can talk you through it.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you again.
Thanks for doing this work.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for doing this work. I mean it. And ladies, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Do I have to give this back?
No. They have an extra one.
Oh, perfect.
Back in a moment on 720 WGN. All right, coming up, what's it going to be like on a boat this weekend for the Air and Water Show? Stand by for that. And your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. The show, then you show, not me, oh.
It's SNL, right? From the boys who brought you D in a Box, I'm on a Boat. The Steve Cochran Show continues with a word or two about tomorrow and Sunday, the Air and Water Show. Enza Montana joins us now. We can talk a little bit about boats and where you should be and where you shouldn't be and all that stuff. And Vivian, you're on a boat. Come in here and talk to this person. Good morning, Enza.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fine. You're director of marketing for Chicago Harbors.
That's correct.
Is there a time in the year that there's more boats on the water in that close proximity that even comes close to equaling what it's going to be like this weekend?
You know, the 4th of July weekend's really busy, but I think Air and Water Show is probably our busiest weekend of the year, for sure.
I mean, you're almost at a point in different spots where you can walk boat to boat, right?
Well, yeah, people can anchor up. It gets a little bit rough on the Air and Water Show day just because there's a lot of boat movement. But people can tie up together if they want to. I've seen it happen before. I personally like to hang out alone on that day. But it's going to be busy out there for sure. And boaters need to remember to put down a whole bunch of chain just so that their boats are secure, so they're not dragging their anchors.
Most importantly, what do you recommend that people leave you alone?
No, I think, I love this weekend. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year, boating-wise. And looks like we're going to have some really good weather, so I'm looking forward to the weekend.
I don't know if producer Viv had a chance to tell you, but she is captaining her family's boat tomorrow.
Today.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
I thought it was
tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of boat is it, Vivian?
It's a 33-foot Sundancer. It's a Sea Ray.
Cool. All right.
I'm going to be Viv's new best friend, by the way.
You already are.
It's always good to have a friend with a boat in Chicago.
Are you good at this?
Yeah, those are always the best.
Are you good at this, Viv, or is it just because your dad loves you, he lets you think you're captain?
Well, she just called my dad.
No, I think I'm good at it. I think I got the hang of it for sure.
Okay.
Do I sound...
Have you hit anything?
No, not... Well, actually, yeah.
When
we were docking it, I've hit the backboard of the boat when we were docking it at Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell him... Oh, my God. I hope my dad's not listening right now.
Actually, I hope he is. That's how we learn. Anza, you're doing this thing, Women at the Helm. Talk about that.
That's right. Yeah, it's a new program that we started this year, Women at the Helm. It's an introduction to powerboat boating for women, and it's taught by women. So we have U.S. Coast Guard, captains that are actually teaching the class. There have been sailing classes provided in the city before, but there's not a whole lot on the powerboat side. So just like Vivian mentioned, 33-foot Sea Ray, that's exactly the type of boat that we're teaching women how to drive. And it's just about empowering them on the water. It's a little bit different to be surrounded by women and taught by women when you're taking a boating class.
Well, and women are way more attractive in the captain's outfit anyway, so let's just start.
And just smarter in general, Steve.
Well, there is that.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is that. Do you know the starboard side from the port side?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't.
Port is left.
I bet she does.
Port is right, starboard is left.
Anza, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Port is left, yes, she's right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Ding, ding, ding. Come on, Joe. Where's the ding, ding, ding sign? No?
I'd like to have more boating and sailing questions, but that's all I know. That's a total depth of my knowledge.
We have one more. We have our boating class coming up this Wednesday. So we can still get a couple more people in there. The first two classes sold out immediately. This one we happen to have just a few slots left. We had some cancellations last minute. So, Vivian, if you want to take the class...
Yeah, hey. And stop running into things.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Yes, I'll be there. I'll be there, Anza. Thank you.
How do people sign up?
It's on our website, chicagoharbors.com, and you can also go to our Facebook handle, Chicago Harbors.
Is Anza Montana your real name? You sound like a superhero.
Thank you. So my real name is actually Vincenza. So if you want to get more.
I love that because I've heard of Vincenzo, but I didn't know this must be the female version of Vincenza.
Well, how about Vincenza
exactly,
Montana?
Yeah.
Love it.
Wow, that's a nice name.
Thank you for being on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a safe weekend.
Yeah, you as well. And again, leave her alone. That's her only request. She wants to be left alone.
Sounds like Steve Cochran.
I want to be invited, and I won't show up, so you won't have to leave me alone. We're going to come back in a second, and honestly, I'm into overtime here. It's almost 10 o'clock on a Friday.
Oh,
and,
really? What you have left to
normally,
give.
Normally, I shut it down 9:30.
Okay, because you've given so much this week.
9:30?
That's true. Normally, I shut it down 9:05. Yeah.
Well, you put it all out there, Steve. You really do give all of yourself.
So this is the number one talk show in town, but I'm telling you right now, we're going to go to this break. We're going to come back. It could suck in the last couple of minutes.
We got
eight minutes.
No, you're going to finish with a big bang.
I got nothing.
Yeah, you do.
You've been here 2 weeks. You do something.
Okay. I'll do it.
All right.
I'll do it.
9:52. Back in a moment.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind, I'm playing now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
It's a part of the show that I like to call Steve Doesn't Have Any More Ideas. Super Joe, what are you doing this weekend?
I do not know.
All right, good call. Vivian's going to be on a boat. Dave, what are you doing this weekend?
I have a party tomorrow night. And
have I been invited to that party?
No, but there's no reason you would be, except for you
to
turn it
down. Well, who's at the
party?
Just friends.
Friends, people you don't know.
We're all going.
My wife will be there, you know.
Yeah. You're coming
with
us.
G's coming.
Yeah.
Your cousin Andy and Carrie.
Maureen's going, I heard.
Maureen's coming.
Maureen will be there.
And that's what I heard.
Your new grandson.
But now you've gone too far.
I just realized as I said that.
Draw the line. Gee, what are you doing this weekend?
Lots of partying.
Ask Janis Joplin the same question and see what she says, Steve.
Mary Vanderbilt, what are you doing this weekend?
I may get to see my grandkids, but I'm not sure.
Steve Burchon, what are you doing this weekend?
Standby.
I got a little family reunion in Mantino, Illinois.
Your family or someone else's?
No, it's another family, but the food's good.
Yeah, you just go to a park and wait for a bunch of people to get together?
It's going
to
happen eventually.
Right. I see that completely. My nephew Andy is here, and he is the fire chief of what town?
Long Lake Township.
Long Lake Township in Michigan. So if you are an arsonist,
yeah, do not go there.
Go to a different town.
Yeah. Or if, you know, you have a cat stuck in a tree and you need help getting it down.
How many Andy Griffith episodes have you watched?
I don't know.
They do other stuff.
Yeah. Is there any chance you get Andy to the Cubs bullpen?
Ah, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
You know,
somebody's
got to
put that fire out.
I couldn't put that out last night.
Yeah. Wendy, what are you doing this weekend?
I am going to a little Italy Fest on Taylor Street because my son's band, The Vaughn Building, is playing at 3:30 tomorrow.
Cool. Now we're talking.
Yeah, and I'm half Italian, and Michael's a quarter Italian, so...
Now, they do Air Supply covers? Is that generally what they do? Not so
no,
much?
More
so
rock much. And blues.
A little more rock, a little more blues. Band is again what?
The Vaughn Building.
Where's that come from?
They all went to LT High School, and that's the name of the building that the music classes and the gym classes were in.
That is awesome.
That's not a band I was in.
No, no. It's not on your list.
No. But we could open for them. I got a new band called Does This Look Infected? Do we need it?
What kind of music?
It's mostly Air Supply covers.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put you on the bill.
Yeah, we can talk. What are you guys doing today?
Well, Jim Peterick is a guy who normally shies away from the media. He doesn't like attention. We've convinced him, Wendy and I had a sit down with him. We go, Jim, come on the show. What's wrong with you?
How much of a negotiation was that?
Oh, it took all day.
So he's going to sing?
Yes, and they have a new CD out, The Ides of March does, so pretty exciting.
I love
good.
Jim. I love Jim. Yeah, I know you two guy. Aren't fond of him, but I love him.
Oh. I love his outfits.
Yes.
I like his hair.
Yeah. Is it still purple?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Boy, one bad dye job. How long does that take to get rid of? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I think he matches his outfits.
Yeah. Yes. He's great. Yes. He's 147 years old, and he's still a rock and
roll. He's a vampire.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. All right, well, we've done enough. We're done. Are we done, Dave? Yep, we're done.
We are done.
There's the whistle. We'll see you at the Water Buffalo Lodge with Fred and Barney. Here's Wendy.